fancy way of saying you don't look good. He is risen. The tomb is empty. Happy Easter, Resurrection Sunday, to each one of you. May the Spirit of the risen Christ be with your spirit this morning. And may this Resurrection Sunday be one that brings you joy and signs of new life all around you. And may it also serve as a reminder of God's faithfulness. May it serve as a reminder as God's goodness and his deep love for the world. Because Jesus secures victory over death, and he reigns as king over his kingdom, in which we are invited daily to participate in. We've been on some kind of journey with this Lenten series that we've been in, this Lenten season, with this Full to the Brim series. But not just the series, also this past week, which began last Sunday with Palm Sunday, 7 days ago. Onto our Monday, Thursday communion and foot washing and hand washing service. And then to Good Friday, and we entered into the story of Jesus' betrayal, his sentencing, his crucifixion and death a couple nights ago. So we were together on the Good Friday, but now Sunday has come. Sunday has come. Jesus has undone death by death. So we enter this morning into this resurrection story. In this year, we have the story from Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And so we'll just dive right in. On that first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. On the first day of the week, something new is about to happen. On the first day of the week, the very first day of the week, God's creation began. And on this first day of the week, a new creation is dawning. This was the first day of a new reality for humankind. And the women come bringing something. They come with spices. They come with spices. It's commonly held practice that women would traditionally anoint a body of a deceased person, a dead person. And this was not allowed to happen on a Sabbath, okay, because this is a task to do. And so they had to wait till Sunday to carry it out. They would bring spices to cover, a smell of a decaying body for anyone desiring to pay their respects to Jesus. But the women, they come bringing spices, but they also bring something else. They come with expectation. They come with expectation. And what is that expectation? Well, they expect to see death. They expect to see Jesus' body. They're lying there lifeless, there in the grave. They expect something, but they experience something different altogether. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So we pause here. What do we know so far? If we just pause here, what do we know? We know from the story that just one thing. We know that the tomb is empty. We don't know actually yet that he has risen. Not just yet. It's only a bit later when Jesus appears on the road to Emmaus with the disciples. There's Jesus. And only we only know that the tomb is empty. And this would cause verse 4. While they were wondering about this. While they were wondering about this. Let's pause here again and consider this wondering. Just an observation of the story. We can look at all the characters in it. With this story this morning, there was not an immediate joyful celebration or jubilation that broke out. There was a moment, actually I would argue there were multiple moments where it wasn't joy, but rather mystery had set in. Mystery. It also says that while they were wondering, and we don't know how long that was. It just says while. Is this just for a moment? Is this 5, 10 minutes? Does an hour pass while they were wondering? How long did they hold this wondering? How long did they hold it? How long did they hold this mystery? Suddenly, two men in clothes came that gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. Again, we pause and we notice the reaction. First, there's a sense of wondering and mystery. Now the scripture tells us that they were frightened. They were frightened. So what is happening? Well, again, they came expecting one thing, and they were experiencing something different. They experienced an empty tomb. Now that we have two men walking around in clothes washed in Tide, or whatever detergent, first they go from wonder now to fright. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Why do you look for the living among the dead? Each of the Gospels carries a phrase that sort of signifies resurrection. And for Luke, this is that phrase. Why do you look for the living among the dead? It is interesting that on this year, Good Friday, happened to be April 15th. And here in the great United States, this is tax day, right? Actually, isn't it Monday this year? Okay. Okay, and it's either attributed to Benjamin Franklin or Mark Twain, we don't know. It says, in this world, nothing can be said to be certain. Certain. Except death and taxes. Death on Good Friday. It was certain. With this phrase, I consider how often in my own life that I cling to what I know to be certain, represented by death, instead of entering into or holding an open posture to the things that I don't know, represented by resurrection. I have a tendency to have a rather tight grip. I don't know if anyone else in here. I have a really tight grip on the things that bring me comfort, the things that I'm certain of. And because of my comfortability, I'd rather not risk the unknown. Anna Carter Florence, a professor at Columbia Theological Seminary, says it this way: if the dead don't stay dead, what can you count on? What about you? Might you resonate with this? Do you perhaps find yourself ever clinging to the known? The certainty of death, or clinging to expectations that we might have. When you experience something new, a new discovery, it questions what is already known or what is expected, and a sense of wonder, and maybe even fright, might tell the story. How often do I look for the dead among the living? I think I said that backwards. How often do I look for the living among the dead? I said it backwards. Sorry, I need a little more coffee. I said it backwards. Ruin the moment. Okay, all right. So how often do we look for the living among the dead? How often do I look for certainty in the midst of mystery? Moving on, he is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day raised again. Then they remembered his words. They remembered his words. Resurrection is made real in both proclamation and also in remembering Jesus' life and teaching. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all of the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women. because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So they go back and they tell the 11. They go back to the 11 to proclaim, to witness to share their experience, to share the news of an empty tomb. And it was shared by these two men in dazzling white. Now, these are the closest followers of Jesus. The closest followers of Jesus dismiss the woman's message as garbage, nonsense, a whole lot of, you know, just doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. So I got to say, I don't blame them for not believing. I don't blame them. I mean, the impossibility of it all. The impossibility of it all. The dead raised to new life physically. It's hard to believe this good news, isn't it? It's hard to believe. I mean, think back to your own journey of faith. How many times did it take for you to either hear or experience the good news for yourself, where it began to transform your life and transform you into a new way of being in the world? The impossibility of the resurrection is so extremely hard to make sense of, especially given the world's current political environment, hunger, poverty, war, systems of racism and injustice. Resurrection, new life, new hope, it still feels like an impossibility, doesn't it? This, however, should not stop us from proclaiming and demonstrating the good news. So the women at the tomb, they come back and they share this impossibility. And from Luke's gospel, how many of the 11 were motivated towards a physical response? That's right, one. That's right, one out of the 11. But it also says that they told all the others, not just the 11, but all the others. One from Luke's gospel returns. Only Peter does something about this good news. Everyone else initially dismisses the good news as impossible. It does seem about right in today's world, in today's culture, right? It seems like there's such a small percentage of people respond to the good news. I don't pretend to know what that percentage is, but it seems that way. One thing I do know for sure is that if it wasn't for these women's witness, testimony, proclamation, 0% of those disciples would have returned to the tomb. Zero. They would not have had the opportunity to respond to this first resurrection morning. The women served as apostles to the apostles. Hence, the importance of the proclamation for us even today. The importance of proclamation. The question is, are we sharing the story? Are we sharing the story? One thing I'm going to do in this Eastertide season, in the season that's ahead of us in the church calendar, and hold me accountable to this, please. Ask me how it's going. But I was going to do it this morning at Starbucks, and I had to get going. I didn't have time. But what I'm going to do, here's what I'm going to do, and I invite you to maybe try this as well. And I'm just going to go, it could be someone I'm interacting with, someone I'm meeting for the first time, so on and so forth. And in this Easter season, I'm just going to ask, hey, have you heard the news? And they're like, no. What's going on? They might be, Ukraine might be in their mind or something, or some other, you know, the latest shooting in Peoria, whatever. Hey, the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. So I'm going to do that as a practice. And yeah, it's going to be awkward. It's going to be weird. And I'm not going to do it like 10 times a day. I'm just going to have a little fun with it. I mean, it's important. It's very serious. I don't mean to make light of this, but hey, did you hear the news? The tomb is empty. And then we'll see where the conversation goes from there. Like, that guy's weird. Or, what tomb? Whose tomb? What? What are you talking about? Makes sense today, yeah, if people know, realize, you know, hey, there's Easter bunnies out there. So, yeah. So hold me accountable. Anyone want to join me? Okay. Thanks, Steve. Steve will. It's good news, isn't it? Doesn't it bring hope? And lastly, bending over, he saw that the strips of linen lying, he, that is Peter, saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. So we have Peter, just like the women earlier, wondering to himself. Wondering to himself what had happened. If you're confused, anxious, frightened, or caught into the mystery regarding the impossibility of the resurrection, you are in good company. Immediate joy and jubilation is not part of this story this morning. Yeah, we'll get to that later. But part of this story this morning is not this immediate joy and celebration. It's the wonder of the empty tomb. It's the fright of the empty tomb. It is the mystery of the empty tomb. That is what we see in our story today. Perhaps the story for us is to linger here this morning. Let us linger in this mystery, in this wonder, maybe even fright, and let that inform us and how we need to respond, how we are invited to respond. Brothers and sisters, religion goes bad when it ceases to wonder. We have an invitation to what I'd call divine curiosity. Peter was curious, and it demanded a response. His response, his journey led him to the tomb. It appears from our story that many of the disciples didn't seem interested in opening themselves up to the impossibility, and they rejected the woman's testimony. Yet Peter was curious enough to return. So this Resurrection Sunday, April 17th, 2022, may we be invited back to wonder. May we be invited back to mystery. And may we be invited back to the impossibility of it all. Because the world now, as always, is desperate to hear and to experience a better story contained in the good news that we carry. If it's been transformative in your life, it can be transformative in others as well. So may we continue to share this resurrection story, not just a story, but a message, a truth. For it has the power to transform not only us, but it has the power to transform the world in which we live and move and have our being. The power of this story, the power of transformed lives, this story has the power to draw us to the Father. The power to remind us why we have, by God's abundant grace, committed our lives to following Jesus in our baptismal vows. Remember those? We're reminded once again with our baptisms that we'll be having here this morning, Stella Byler Dan, Delaney Marvin, and Hudson Potter. We're reminded of Romans chapter 6. Don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his Good Friday death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may be raised to a new life, an expansive life. Amen. He's risen. We'll be moving to baptism, but first we'll do these words.